Welcome to Mood.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
No. Still not feeling it.
No.
Hey.
No.
Oh, hey.
No, no.
Hey.
Hey.
Hi there. Hey there.
Someone told me a Harrison Ford impression is just Jennifer Coolidge with gruff, and I can't unhear it.
I get it. Oh, geez.
You gotta just do it in his
way. Oh, God.
Sounds like Dr. Girlfriend.
I don't know what you're talking about, Chewie.
Yeah, see? Yeah,
Chewie, we're home.
It's me, Harrison Ford, your favorite no,
either
actor.
Either one of them.
I was Han Solo.
Oh, good Lord.
Fucking, what's his name from Independence Day?
Oh, I'm going to call my mother.
Alex, what do you start us out today?
What?
Who's starting us out?
I got one that's kind of cool.
Cool?
You guys know this guy? King Tut. Right?
Na, 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 na,
buried
na, na,
in
na,
his
na,
jammies.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. So... mysterious, cursed king, maybe, child king. What do we know about this guy? His tomb was found by Howard Carter, and it was like filled with artifacts. He has the very famous death mask. I remember there was some contention over whether it was even originally supposed to be his face at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knows exactly how King Tut died, but there is DNA testing that has just been revealed that may finally tip the scales in this
first Jack the Ripper, now King Tut, bro.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess let's see what's going on here. Why are we talking about this now? Why is this picked up everywhere? It says the study happened in 2010 at Cairo University, and they took tissue samples from the remains, and they found multiple genetic evidence of multiple bouts of malaria, and you know, there wasn't a cure for malaria back then. And apparently the tests show, this is from the guy who's doing the King Tut exhibition right now. His name's Tim Batty. He says, the test showed that Tutankhamun was infected with malaria that may have killed him. So that's kind of what people are thinking about. they also found out that his grandparents were Amenhotep III and Tia, the queen, to Amenhotep III. They also both died of malaria, which is kind of interesting. And also there's genetic results that suggest that he is the son of an anonymous mummy that's in tomb KV55 that's in the Valley of the Kings, which is interesting. But there's also other research that links him to what's the name of the pharaoh? The weird one. Everybody knows this guy. He's very famous. He did everything weird. He like changed everybody's look. Yeah, basically, he was like kind of like Caligula, but he was like the Egyptian version.
Cool.
He like
we have ours. We have ours right now. Everybody gets
Hotep.
Their own Caligula.
No, hold on. I got this.
I think it's
Akhenaten, right?
Sure, that is one of them. I just don't know which one's the one that changed
the
everything.
One, he like moved the capital to
Bubba
like another. Yeah, Bubba Hotep.
Bubba Hotep.
He moved the capital to another city, and he changed the like. I think it was like monotheistic for like a hot second. Which was like kind of weird for ancient Egypt, but he was like an uncle at the very least of King Tut, and they think he might be his father.
I mean, it definitely can be hard to pinpoint exactly because they were inbreeding like crazy.
No, and that's exactly right. It's like the DNA test showed that there was a bunch of inherited diseases and stuff that had to do with inbreeding. One of these conditions that came from inbreeding was something called Koehler disease, which is like a bone disorder in like the foot of a kid that like stops blood from going to part of the foot and then it gets necrotic.
Ooh.
And there was CT scans done of him that showed that he did maybe have necrosis of the left foot. And there also were canes found in his tomb. And there was also a pharmacy that was in his tomb that he was supposed to use in the afterlife. And so
interesting.
That's what the genetics show. But the theories are mainly there's a malaria theory. It's probably that he had malaria and died, but like how common was that in ancient Egypt? Who fucking knows? It's also possible that he was murdered, according to Egyptologist Robert Breyer, that said that there was damage on the back of his skull that looked like it was a blow to the head. Maybe his successor did it, who was like a military/courtier type guy who like wanted to be the pharaoh. Or this other guy, Horemheb, who's in the court, who was supposed to be his like provisional heir and maybe like was also trying to get in there. Or his sister wife, Ankh-Sennamun, Anaksunamun.
Oh, hey.
Ankh-Sennamun. With her famous letter to the Hittites, trying to take over Egypt. She also made a play, but they actually think that the skull damage that they saw, actually was actually just during mummification, like somebody had to get in there. So maybe not that one, but a similar one is a chariot crash that showed that his body maybe was like consistent with like, you know, a crash that might occur on a chariot, which was like the same thing as like hot rod racing. It's like kind of like a rich boy sport for elites in ancient Egypt was chariot racing. And there was a bunch of chariots in his tomb, and there's pictures of him riding it. He had some of his ribs were missing. He had a broken leg. His heart was gone. Damn. Maybe he bled out in a chariot race, maybe. But they also found that some of the ribs that are missing now were there at one point, and that maybe people stole some of the stuff that they thought were injuries. Also, maybe he just got infected from a broken leg or something like that. Is another theory, because you know back then that could kill you. And then most likely, like according to genetics and stuff, it was just like a bunch of shit that was going on. He possibly had Marfan syndrome, Klinefelter syndrome, Froelich syndrome, scoliosis, anemia, a broken leg, malaria. He could have had all those things just from being a fucking ancient Egyptian guy. He also maybe had temporal lobe epilepsy, because apparently he had like light visions, and so did many of his relatives had like these like crazy visions. So maybe they had like some kind of genetic epilepsy. And epilepsy itself, you know, can cause you to choke or even just die by it, you know. So who knows? Who knows? But that's what's going on in King Tut world.
It's crazy though that we still have like stuff coming out about King Tut.
It's forensics too, which is interesting.
Weird.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's forensics.
Yeah, like it was in weird timing with the having just done the Jack the Ripper stuff. Jesse, what do you have,
gentlemen? I come to you today with two fun things. First, totally not sci-fi, totally not paranormal, totally not nothing, but truly the best of humanity in Japan.
This sounds right great now, to me so far. Yeah.
In a one of their very fun prefectures, they have created Pokemon-esque cards.
Oh my God.
For all the elderly men in the community.
I love this already.
Yeah.
It is so
people
cute.
Keep sending me this. Yeah. I haven't looked into it.
They are like collectible cards with guys from the community. And the kids love it. They are going around buying them up. They're talking about which of the men is stronger than the other men. There's some really funny bits here.
Where and they see them too in the street.
What now?
Are they real guys?
Yeah, these are real ass people. So, example, there's take Firewall card, for example. It features Mr. Honda, 74, a former fire brigade chief who helped keep the town safe for decades. There's Soba Master, Mr. Takashita, 81, who runs the local soba needle making class and now holds legendary status among the town's youth. There's all-rounder Mr. Fuji, 68, a former prison officer turned community volunteer. His card is so sought after that local kids have started asking him for autographs.
That's awesome.
It's super cute.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah, there's the plasma conductor, which is just a smiling, bespeckled guy in front of a light bulb, because that's like what he did. It is so sweet, and I love that it's I would love a few more old ladies on here. I've seen a few badass old ladies in Japan. I think they should be on there too, but.
That should be the very first expansion. That is amazing. I'm like looking at these. This is so cute.
I'm in love with it. It's
very well done. I just figured we'd start with something nice. But also, hey.
The poses, dude.
I'm sure the two of you have seen this, and if you haven't, I'm just going to report to everyone else. For the last 2 weeks, this has popped up on my feed so many times. Which states would survive an alien invasion? There's a score now. You can. It's all scored.
Survive?
How would you even know? How would you even? How would
Don't
you
worry. It's all
line?
Nonsense. But I figured we'd share because okay, it's fun yeah. nonsense.
I'm like, they can't. They no.
Right. So it's based off of a bunch of different things, like forestry, bodies of water, the sheriff figures who might be useful in case of an extraterrestrial attack, such as scientists and military forces, bases, etc. Now, in my mind, I would think like the movie Independence Day, where they just blow up all the bases and you're more of a target, but like whatever. So they talked about between as of November 2024, there were 1,600 reports of UFOs. According to the Pentagon, more than half were between 2023 and 2024, May 2023 and June 2024. And so basically the researchers at Giga Calculator, whatever the hell that is, have spoken, and they have listed the top 10 best places to survive based on all sorts of things that would help you.
Okay.
Let's all right. Number one, I don't believe this for a minute, Virginia. Virginia, right across the water.
Yeah.
Like, if I was Virginia, Maryland, gone. There's no way they exist, but whatever. They say Virginia would last because the average duration of UFO sightings and UFOs per people, like per 1,000 people, very high, right? So which to me says.
What kind of criteria is that?
Yeah, what is this? What?
But more importantly, it has 29 caves to hide in. It has 0.63% of it is covered by forest, 0.08 by water, but it does have 17 military personnel for every 1,000 people and 2 law enforcement personnel for every 1,000 people, 4 scientists and 8 engineers per 1,000 people, and 25 healthcare professionals per 1,000 people. So they get an 8.06 out of 10 for an alien score based on all that information.
Okay.
Again.
What
gibberish, but I thought it was funny.
Yeah, why Virginia? Like, yeah, cave amounts? What about the desert? Like, what about...
Well, whatever. They say, for example, Nevada, one of the worst ones. You would die... Nevada ranks at the bottom. You would... It would be the end of you. Mostly because you'd run out of food and water and stuff too early.
Cool.
What? Okay.
Now, Alabama, 35 caves, more caves, less water, but more forest area. The difference here is their healthcare professionals are very high comparative to 1,000 people. It's 26. Massachusetts is 35 and more scientists and engineers than any other state. But they also have the most law enforcement per 1,000 people at 3. Now, the funny thing is, this is my favorite one. Florida makes it into the top 10.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Florida ranked among the most likely to survive an alien invasion, placing 6th with a score of 7.55 out of 10. The state has had 3.6 UFO sightings per 10,000 people, averages 4.42 minutes of seeing those UFOs, and it is not nearly the hotspot that Vermont is, according to this article. But when it comes to hiding spots, Florida boasts roughly 0.2 area covered by water and 0.5% covered by forest. And 12 caves for protection, 2 law enforcement people per 1,000, 2 scientists, 27 healthcare, all that. They're like, this will help us survive. I think that's goofy. But
yeah,
the best
stupid,
one
no.
is apparently Vermont has the most UFO sightings at 9.5
like
out of 10,000 people. So out of every 10,000, 9 to 10-ish have seen a UFO.
I wonder if they just have a low-ass population.
Vermont
general.
For sure does, but still.
Yeah.
I looked over this and I was like, this is so stupid, but I figured I'd share because it keeps showing up.
No, I love it. Yeah. I love stuff like this.
Yeah.
I wish that real experts would weigh in on stuff like this.
Sure.
I love this type of stuff. I would love somebody to take it seriously one time.
I think none of it would matter. If they have technology to destroy, like,
literally,
what is the cop going to do to a laser beam? Like,
there's so many questions. Like, what does it even mean? Yeah.
But to round off the top 10, it's Virginia, Alabama, Massachusetts, New York, which I don't believe for a minute, Minnesota, Florida, Wisconsin, North Carolina, Alaska, and Georgia.
How are we
Alaska
not?
Alaska is probably the only one I believe in that entire
Alaska
list.
Feels good. How are we not even on there just based on sheer numbers, like sheer population?
I think they're assuming that we would get, I mean,
because we're
so
a, we're, because we're a target.
The places to hide here. I think it's just based off of targets, but that's not what they included. They didn't include targets on here because, again, Virginia would be gone. Massachusetts, New York, gone.
Right.
You know, North Carolina, Georgia, gone for just military assets alone.
It does, none of it. There's like no law.
It doesn't make any sense, but I thought it was cute. So here
it is. I wish I could believe it. Florida to me would be like the last place I would ever go in for an alien invasion. They just sink it. Send a tidal
honestly,
wave.
No, they'd fight. Those guys would be like, come on, pirate brothers. And they'd fight back.
Come on, pirate brothers.
Yeah.
All right. Well, to end us, we haven't done a dream in a while.
Uh-oh.
And a dream was dropped that I only read the first couple sentences. And dream I was like, you know
distance,
what? I'm going to read it.
And
probably, you know, we'll see if I regret it or not. So, this is from Speedster Zay over on our subreddit. It says, hi, so I've been watching your podcast for about 4 weeks, and I'm finally at the 200th episode mark, and I noticed that I believe his name is Jesse, interprets dreams.
That's me.
Yeah.
Well, I believe the man is called Jesse.
This guy is the rare person who doesn't know you from gaming first. Well, I'd like to hear his thoughts on this dream.
Okay.
I give you full permission to use this sort of episode or something if you want to. So my girlfriend, me, and two other people, one is a guy and the others were constantly breaking into this person's house in this dream. But it really wasn't their house. They were just showing it to people to buy because it was actually my house, our dad and mom's house. We just had to leave there for a couple hours each day.
Yeah, so that sounds like a dream.
Showing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So far, like a dream. But because we don't all want to split up. What? That's a typo. Because we all don't want to split up our friendship, as in I didn't want to move if they didn't want to lose me. We decided to keep breaking in and doing stuff to make sure people didn't want to buy it, and we'd escape the same way we slide out the window to jump on the floor. Yeah, so they're moving. They don't want to move. Him and his friends would go in there and make the house look bad, so people didn't want to buy it. And then we'd run to the right off the fence that was right by a log, and then we'd run around the back of the house, the neighbor's house. Then we'd go on the side street and walk like we weren't doing anything. There was this one time that I did this. I brought up my girlfriend over it. It was two girls and a guy, another friend. And the guy was a pothead. Okay. The other girl was, I don't even really know. She didn't even mean anything to me. But one that I had brought was sexy as hell. And so I brought her to my room and she pulled her pants and shirt. And she was all like, hey, I got a really cool trick.
Oh.
I want to see. And I was like, yeah, she made cat ears come out of her head and a cat tail that was like right below her spine. And it was like 3 feet long. But we still did our thing and stuff. And then we hear the buyers coming to look. So we pull the window down, jump out, land on the grass and run to the right and hop the fence by the lawn. It cut to another scene where I met this guy that I did a delivery to, like actually in the real world job, I had made a delivery to him and he gave me like these two, no big round rings and two small rings
in real life
to hold them for work. So I went back to the house and I held them and I was thinking to myself, how am I going to remember this? How am I going to remember to grab these for work? So I put them on my backpack. So I hopped in bed and fell asleep. When I woke up, I was walking down the street and the ground was wet. The fuck, this is chaos. I don't even have shoes.
This is a complex dream.
It's very hard, complex to read. I didn't have on shoes, but I had on socks, and this is the point where I realized it was actually a dream. My feet were not getting wet. Okay, so I continue walking and I like hear, so I'm lucid dreaming now, I guess. I'm aware in the dream. So obviously the first thing I do is I try to conjure up a bad guy, and we have very violent, vicious sex. I'm like, to get too many details about that, but it was good. So then I go back to walking down
good.
The street and my sock and my socks in a car pull up to the right of me and drives at the same pace that I'm walking. Then I look over and it's Jason, like from the horror movie, looking at me.
From the horror movie, dude.
We're still both going in the same direction. Then he pulls off his bandage. On his left side, slowly starts unwrapping his face mask thing that was more like bandages, and then he like jerks the wheel, and he almost ran me off the road. If you don't know what the so Jesse missed your friend, check out. Yeah, that's like, so what is the, that's basically the end of the dream, and then he babbles about something. Ah, that was chaos. The first two sentences when I read it were more promising, and then it just fucking unraveled.
I would assume that this dream is like, I mean, just based off the idea of it being a house that's your own house that you're breaking into because it's being sold, the house could represent you, like your own personal life, and then the, you know, breaking into it is trying to regain control of that and preventing it from being sold.
Okay. I like where you're going. I like where your head is at.
Yeah. It's like you fear losing something, right? Or a major change. And so you don't want, like, you lack control over parts of your life. Like, this thing is coming, and in order to take back parts of your life, you have to go in and steal from it. I don't have, like, the catgirl transformation thing. I mean, I guess it could be like a desire for.
You're putting a lot of effort into this, Jesse.
I'm trying. I wrote down notes. Yeah. Like, it could be a desire for you, that change that you're seeking in your own life, seeking it outside as well. Obviously, I feel like having to then run from the, it's you found something that you really desired and you want, and then immediately you had to run because people were coming to look at the house. And maybe there's like, you're threatened by those external forces, right? Either way, I feel like, it seems like you're reflecting on stability in your own house, and that, like, that's you. And you have all these desires and things you want to do, but it's fleeting, and it's, you know, you're having fun, but you're also, you have a lot of problems you're dealing with. So I would ask you, what's going on in your life that's causing you to feel this way? What kind of relationships do you have right now that are causing you to feel this way? Is there anyone in your life you might associate with the man in your dreams giving you the rings or that responsibility of holding them? Right? Things like that. I feel like this is definitely a personal dream. Despite it being like, there's sexy girls and I'm running around, Jason's there. It feels incredibly personal. Like, this is, you are going through some shit.
Yeah. You know what, Jesse, I applaud you. That was, I didn't.
It's true. There's holes. There's holes, but you did a solid, I feel the analysis was
solid.
There's
definitely holes. I followed about 1/8 of what was going on.
Dude, right, more than I could follow, and I was reading it. And I was trying to figure out what the fuck was happening. All right. Well, thank you, Jesse. And thank you for the dream, friend from our subreddit. And thank you all for supporting us right here at patreon.com/IlluminatiPod. We'll be back with a new minisode next week. We appreciate it. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.